Steve Moses is the president for the Center for Long-Term Care Reform out of Seattle, Washington. The center promotes universal access to top quality long-term care by encouraging private financing as an alternative to Medicaid dependency for most Americans. Steve is a former senior analyst for the Inspector General of the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Steve is also a former Medicaid state representative for the Healthcare Financing Administration and a Peace Corps volunteer in Venezuela. Now, Steve Moses is recognized widely as one of the nation's most articulate voices and an expert and innovator in the field of long-term care. Jay and I had the opportunity to record this interview with Steve Moses. Steve Moses, welcome to Your Insurance Matters. It's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You know, Steve, we also have Jay Zandell with us, the founder of Z Planning Group. Jay, go ahead and say hello.
Steve, how are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Jay. Thank you.
Steve, once again, we do appreciate your participating in the show. Steve, I wanted to ask you, and for the benefit of our listening audience, what is the mission of the Center for Long-Term Care Reform?
Well, the center's mission is to ensure access to quality long-term care for all Americans, and we are working on public policy that can make that a realistic goal.
Steve, I understand you're on a countrywide tour. It began back in January of this year, and I understand it ends in November. Where are you now?
Well, I'm near Washington, D.C., at a campground about 10 miles from Dulles International Airport. I started the National Long-Term Care Consciousness Tour in Florida on January 1st. I've been through most of the southeast to the southwest, and I'm now headed to the central east. I'll then continue to the northeast, the midwest, and the west, and I will be traveling a full year from January through the end of December before we're done.
Sounds very exciting, definitely putting on a lot of miles. What is this tour all about, and why are you doing the tour?
Well, the long-term care tour is about waking up the public to the risk and cost of long-term care, particularly explaining that you can no longer plan for long-term care looking through the rearview mirror. You have to look through the windshield. And when you look through the windshield, you're going to see a brick wall of fiscal reality approaching at 100 miles an hour, because the government safety net for long-term care that has been there since the mid-1960s is fraying badly, will not be there 10 or 15 years from now when people who ought to be thinking about long-term care planning now may need it. So we're trying to wake the public up. I'm talking to the media, radio, television, newspapers. I'm talking to public policymakers at both the state and federal level about what they can and should do. I'm speaking to consumers about long-term care planning. And I guess my principal audience is all kinds of financial advisors, people who sell long-term care insurance, but also CPAs, attorneys, financial advisors of all kinds, with the message that they have a moral and fiduciary responsibility to their clients to get them protected for this risk, because it's not going to be in the future the way it has been in the past, with a soft landing guaranteed by the government.
Well, Steve, what about the Medicaid and Medicare programs? I mean, are these not legitimate funding mechanisms for people, and what is then the government's role in funding its citizens for long-term care?
Well, Medicaid is supposedly a means-tested public assistance program. It is welfare, and it is rightfully utilized as a safety net for people truly in need. But Medicaid has evolved over the years in the United States to be the primary funding source for long-term care, not just for the poor, but for the middle class and even for the affluent, who seek out attorneys, so-called Medicaid planners, who specialize in artificially impoverishing people to qualify them for Medicaid. The end result is that Medicaid covers, although it pays less than half the cost of nursing home care, it covers two-thirds of the residents and touches the patient days of almost 80% of all people in nursing homes, and it pays less than the cost of providing the care. The low reimbursement for Medicaid has dragged down quality of care for people dependent on Medicaid, and it has crowded out both private long-term care planning, either through insurance or use of home equity, and it has prevented the evolution of a high-quality, privately financed home and community-based services infrastructure. We have an institutional bias in the long-term care system in the United States, a bias towards nursing home care, even though this is the wealthiest country in the world where nobody wants to go to a nursing home, and yet the public is sound asleep about this risk because the government has paid for it since 1965 when Medicaid was begun. Medicare, on the other hand, it doesn't cover long-term care, but it is a critical factor in funding Medicaid's ability to pay for long-term care because it pays generously for a smaller portion of the nursing home costs. Problem is Medicare has an $85 trillion unfunded liability and it won't go on propping up Medicaid. Social Security pays about 13% of the cost of nursing home care nationally. Most people don't know that. And the way it does it is that people in nursing homes on Medicaid have to contribute their Social Security income towards their cost of care. Well, when Social Security cuts back, and it tells us annually that it can only pay 75% of what it's promising us, unless by some miracle they get Social Security's $16 trillion unfunded liability under control. Once that cuts back, Medicaid will not be able to go on protecting $500,000 in home equity and allowing people with substantial income and assets to take advantage of it. And at that time, I'm afraid a lot of baby boomers are going to end up with nowhere to go for money to fund long-term care except their home equity through a reverse mortgage. And if we could get folks to look forward, understand what the real risk and cost is going to be, we might get more of them planning responsibly and purchasing private long-term care insurance. Sorry for the lecture, but that gets a lot out in a few words.
Hey, Steve, this is Jay. I have a quick question for you. I would believe that we're both along the same lines of thinking with regard to long-term care being an eventuality for a family rather than a possibility. And if we do go the traditional route and not plan for this with the emphasis on Medicaid and the strain that's already there, what do you see potentially happening in the future with these programs and this risk to our country?
Well, people are going to be much more personally responsible for long-term care in the future than they have been in the past. It's going to be a rude awakening when Medicare no longer goes on propping up Medicaid and when Social Security can't afford to pay the full cost that it pays now. Medicaid doesn't even have a phony trust fund like those two programs, where all the money that's in the so-called Social Security and Medicare trust funds has already been spent, but Medicaid doesn't even have a phony trust fund. It is pure general funds. We are getting very close, probably within 5 to 10 years, to a condition where these programs are going to require so much to be siphoned out of the productive economy to support them that the productive economy won't be able to generate the profits to tax in the first place. And when that happens, we will see the system enter a vicious downward spiral. And I fear that a lot of poor people are going to be devastated because they don't have home equity to go to, and most of the middle class will spend down their life savings, and when that's gone, they will have to use their home equity. But Medicaid, as a safety net for the affluent and middle class, just cannot survive much longer.
Steve, this is Larry again, and that certainly is really scary. Baby boomers are going through the challenges of long-term care right now with their parents. And with that said, are people starting to become more aware and maybe even more frightened with what will possibly happen to themselves if they should need long-term care?
Well, the front cusp of the baby boom generation, people my age, 60, 62, are going through this with their parents, but most of the 18-year baby boom population cohort isn't to that point yet. Now, as people go through it with their parents, yes, they get sensitized, and that's why there's a market at all for private long-term care insurance. I tell agents when I speak to them, about 80% of the potential market for long-term care insurance never even rises to a level of concern about the issue to ask to talk to an agent. And the 20% who do, mainly because they've been through a wrenching personal experience in their own family with long-term care, still a half to two-thirds of them don't buy. And the reason has very little to do with the usual accounts, affordability and denial and so on. What it's really all about is the fact that the government has paid for most long-term care since 1965. The public has been anesthetized to the risk, and if they don't realize that it's like the tooth that you have Novocaine on, after a while it hurts like crazy. When the Novocaine wears off, well, the Novocaine that has put people to sleep about long-term care is very close to wearing off, and it's going to be a very painful experience.
Steve, I've heard you on a YouTube video tell a story of the elephant, the blind, and the long-term care. Could you tell that story for our audience?
Well, sure. I try to explain to people why long-term care is the way it is and is so dysfunctional and doesn't change. And I use the story of the blind man and the elephant. That's an old Indian, East Indian allegory. Making the point that when one blind man touches an elephant on the leg, it seems like a telephone pole, and if you touch it, another one touches the flank, it seems like the side of a barn. The point being that any complex entity, if you don't fully understand each of its facets and all of their interrelationships, you really don't know what you're dealing with. And that's what we have with long-term care, hence the elephant, the blind man, and long-term care. You've got the government that looks at the elephant of long-term care and sees a fiscal black hole and cannot figure out how they're going to go on paying. You've got the public that's sound asleep about the risk of long-term care. So when they look at the elephant of long-term care, all they see is no worries. The government or somebody pays for it. Who knows? They don't know whether it's the Medicaid, Medicare, or Santa Claus, but they don't even ask the question who pays because somebody always has paid. You got senior advocates who know nothing more than to beg the government for more money, but the government doesn't have any money. You've got attorneys among the senior advocates who are making a killing, waving a magic legal wand after the insurable event occurs and putting people on Medicaid who never should have been there, thus devastating that program, that program's ability to provide quality care to people who are poor. You have the financiers of long-term care, the people who provide the debt and equity capital to build and operate and maintain long-term care facilities. They've been burned. They can make more money with their capital elsewhere, so they invested elsewhere. We've got a 40-year-old nursing home infrastructure in the United States, and we're not building new ones, and we're just not going to be equipped to provide long-term care in the future, and there's no new investment going into the area to speak of. You got the long-term care insurers, and when I illustrate this, I always put them right underneath the tail of the elephant for reasons that will become clear. They can't seem to get anything right. They came into long-term care with their stars in their eyes, expecting if you just offer this product, well, people are going to snap it up. And, of course, it has been offered for 25 years. And still hasn't penetrated up to 10% of the market. The insurance industry assumes that's because the consumers are just too stupid to understand the need for their product. It's not that. Consumers are considerably smarter than some of the insurance executives. They don't know who pays, but they've got a pretty good idea somebody does, and they're right before, but going forward, as I've said, they are wrong. Then you've got the providers of long-term care, the nursing homes and assisted living facilities. The nursing homes don't know anywhere to go for funding except to the government, and the government pays them too little, but they don't. They have their blinders on. They're not looking forward. All they see in the elephant of long-term care is a government funding source that is going bankrupt. And the assisted living facilities, on the other hand, they're 90% private pay, but they built these beautiful facilities, and they can't fill them fast enough to remain profitable. So the whole point of the story of the elephant, the blind man, and long-term care is to show why There's a balance of powers among these stakeholders in long-term care. They all have something to gain from the status quo, but nobody is thinking clearly enough to understand that you got to blow the status quo up and change the perverse incentives in the public policy that have put the public to sleep. You got to stop giving away Medicaid to people who ought to be paying for their own long-term care. And the best example is that Medicaid still exempts $500,000 of home equity. It's only $36,000 you can exempt in home equity in Great Britain, which is a socialized health care system. We have a five-year look-back in this country for asset transfers. You're penalized if you give away assets within 5 years to qualify for Medicaid. But in Germany, the look-back period is 10 years. I mean, the irony is that we have a much more generous long-term care funding system, government funding system in the United States, which is supposedly a dog-eat-dog capitalist system. We're much more generous than the socialized countries of Europe. And as a consequence, we have put the public to sleep. They're not planning for long-term care, and the whole house of cards is likely to collapse over the next 5 to 15 years. And a lot of people are going to get hurt, especially the poor, who have nowhere else to turn for their long-term care financing. The middle class and affluent will be able to draw on their home equity. And once they do, once it's clear that home equity is at risk for long-term care, and I predict that Medicaid will drop its home equity exemption sometime in the next 5 or 6 years, once that's clear, then people will get the message that long-term care is a personal responsibility. You have to pay for it yourself. And when that happens, we'll finally see some significant growth in the long-term care insurance market.
Hey, Steve, this is Jay again. And you had mentioned some of the aspects in regards to the implications of the Deficit Reduction Act that I personally am very familiar with your efforts in passing a lot of that legislation through the government. My question to you is, what is the current legislation? How are the state partnerships coming along? Are you seeing any progress there? And you talked about the home equity being dropped. Is that going to be a further legislation stemming from the Deficit Reduction Act, or you just think it's going to be a different form of legislation?
We're approaching another recession. When we go into a recession and the welfare rolls go up and the tax receipts go down and the politicians and bureaucrats get scared to death about making ends meet on the budget, then they start listening to me. And so we're going to go through another period like we went through after the implosion of the Internet bubble, where the governors and the state legislators are looking for ways to conserve on Medicaid expenses and encourage people to pay privately and take personal responsibility. That's why I think that the home equity exemption will be eliminated altogether, dropped to around $50,000, probably sometime within the next 5 years. We're entering a recession now. The states are strapped for cash. It hasn't really sunk in yet. They still have their rainy day funds, and they've been swimming in money for the last few years. So it'll take a little while to catch on, but we will have another opportunity to go back to Congress and make more progress on this issue. As far as the Deficit Reduction Act, it put a $500,000 cap on home equity exemption for Medicaid. We've got to get that down much, much lower. As long as you can shelter $500,000, the average home equity of seniors in this country is only about $125,000. So you can shelter four times that much in the house and get Medicaid to pay for your long-term care. So we've got to get that down a long ways. We've got to get the transfer of assets restriction longer. There are many, many loopholes remaining in Medicaid eligibility that entice people to artificially impoverish their parents, take an early inheritance, and put them in a nursing home on welfare. I mean, the whole system is utterly corrupt, but it is the system we've had all these years, and like I say, the public is anesthetized to it. The politicians and bureaucrats are afraid of the political sensitivity of making the changes. So probably, like most things in America, we don't deal with them at all until we're in crisis. And once we get in crisis, we mobilize and fix the problems. So the crisis is coming.
Steve, this is Larry again, and we're sort of up against the clock. We've got a couple of minutes left, and I did want to ask you this. Steve, what are alternatives to public welfare financing of long-term care?
Well, if people had to spend their own money for long-term care, there are many things that they would do. They would save, invest, insure, they would annuitize, they would use reverse mortgages and mobilize their home equity. But most of all, they would do what they do for every other catastrophic risk in their life. They would go out and buy private insurance. But it's kind of parallel to flood insurance. Unfortunately, whenever there's a major flood in the United States, the government comes in and rebuilds everybody's house, gives them subsidies or free loans, and people rebuild right out on the floodplain. The next time there's a once-in-a-100-year flood of the Mississippi, they're wiped out again. I mean, it's just insane, but the parallel is there with long-term care insurance. There are two kinds of insurance, the kind that people buy and the kind they don't buy. They buy the kind that they need if there's a tragedy, and they don't buy the kind that the government comes in and indemnifies people who don't have the insurance. And so there you have it.
Steve, I want to thank you very much for the time you've been able to spend with us. You've enlightened a lot of people. We really appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure.